Welcome back in. An absolute pleasure for us to say hello to Rodney Orr. He's the founder and editor of TiderInsider.com and also Difference Makers. We'll time allow and get into that as well. Rodney, happy Wednesday to you. How are you?
Hey, Harold and Britt, I am doing well. How are you guys?
Hey, bud.
Man, we're sitting here looking at some of the words of wisdom of the week and get your take on it. Quote, we could play football for another 500 years and we couldn't catch up with a tradition Alabama's got, says one pet die on our friend Paul Feinbaum's show. Ronnie, did you write that script for Pat yesterday, or where did you get that?
Well, you know, Pat's a smart guy. I mean, you know, he was an honor student at Georgia, so, I mean, you know, the guy knows what he's talking about. I mean, in all honesty, you know, again, it's kind of funny coming from Pat Dye because, you know, he's the guy that really kind of made the Auburn people feel like they were on the same level or equal to Alabama. You know, he's their icon. And coming from him, I'm sure that's quite a blow to the ego there for a lot of Auburn people. But, you know, I mean, that's, you know, I really couldn't comment on, you know, what he was saying, but I do think that I do think it's interesting coming from Pat Dye.
Here's the deal, Rodney. It comes in the wake of his comments a few days ago saying we don't need the Alabama people telling the Auburn people what to do. Maybe it's time we get out of the West, go to the East. We have to play Alabama every year. I just think it's an interesting timing and an interesting summer for Pat. But realistically, Rodney, how as far as the gap between Alabama and Auburn, we know from a national standpoint, we know as far as the trophy case over the last few years, as objective as you can be, how would you answer the question of how big is the gap between Alabama and Auburn right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, obviously, Alabama, there's a gap between Alabama and just about everybody.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's a, I don't quite think it's to the level of the 70s yet, obviously. It could possibly get there. I mean, I think Alabama certainly, you know, what do they got? 3-game winning streak now. They haven't had a 4-game winning streak since Bryant did it in the 70s over Auburn. So if they win this year and they come back to Tuscaloosa the next year, we're talking about a 5-year run, and you know, then you could probably say that they're starting to get on that level that they were in the 70s in terms of the gap between the two programs. Mm-hmm. But there again, you know, Auburn's really confident this year. They've got the new quarterback.
Right, I think
I think they thought last year when they got on that little roll they got on that it was their year for all the miracles to go their way because they were a solid team. But I think this year they really have their expectations pretty high. So what does that mean? To me, it means that there's a lot of pressure on Gus Malzahn because they're tired of losing to Alabama. They feel like that they're in a position now, talent-wise, to really compete. And if they were to lose down there again to Alabama, then, you know, it's really going to get rough.
Rodney Orr does recruiting very well, and he had an update on recruiting for one. We talked about him last week. Panay Sewell, one of my favorite names, 6'4", 350 out of St. George, Desert Hills, Utah. Say that fast, quick. There's a lot of potential there and interest on both parties, and I was reading a report this morning there, Mr. Orr, that his younger brother, inside linebacker Noel, had received his first offer in the recruiting cycle. So he's got a younger brother who's pretty talented too, but tell us again a little bit about Mr. Sewell from Utah.
Well, you know, Brett, Harold, I'm not sure that he's not the best offensive lineman on Alabama's board, to be honest with you. I think he's a very talented guy. I just think he's one of the best in the country. I mean, when you look at his size, he's 6'4", close to 350, and he's not a big heavy, well, I say heavy, he's not a fat kid. This guy is a solidly built guy. You know, you look at his feet, they're really good. And you're talking to some of the defensive linemen who participated in Bama's camp, that's one of the things they talked about was how good his feet are. They were really impressed with that. So I think he's one of the best in the country. you know, and his brother, by the way, is a 2020 prospect, which means, of course, he's only going into his sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. Checking, this is a coincidence there, I'm sure. Rodney Orr, founder and editor of TiderInsider.com. We don't have to go to Utah to talk talent, Rodney. Let's go down the road not too far from us over at Decatur. Austin High's Asa Martin, considered to be the state's top running back. We know early on that Bama wasn't on his list. That has since changed. Your thoughts about Mr. Martin, and let's be honest about it, a very, very talented, stable running backs, no matter who comes in there with a new blood.
Yeah, Asa Martin is a, like you said, very talented back. Alabama probably got a little off to a little bit of a slower start, or maybe did not recruit him quite with the aggressiveness that they are now, and that maybe some of the other schools did, but mm-hmm. it's not that they didn't really like him, because they always have, but they've really kind of picked up the pace with him. You know, they did the same thing with T.J. Yeldon. You guys remember that. I mean, so this is not necessarily anything that's against that this particular player, but they really, from what I can gather, they're extremely, extremely high on him, because they really only plan to take one running back, and they may only take one running back. And it would be Asa Martin if he wants to be the guy. Now, they're also, of course, obviously still in the mix for Zamir White, the top back out of North Carolina. So, but that kind of tells you how high they are on Asa Martin. He's an extremely versatile player, can do a lot of different things, you know, as a runner or receiver. Just the different things he can do with his versatility and great athleticism is something that I know that they really like quite a bit.
Defensive line, always a priority for any school, but certainly Nick Saban. You know, when you read Tider and Sider stuff, you decipher the Rodney Orr ease a little bit. And when Rodney Orr says, keep an eye on someone, you need to do that. Bobby Brown, Arlington, Texas, 6'4", 284.
Not the singer, right?
Right, not the singer. Former. I knew he was going to say that, Rodney.
You notice he always wears these BB guys in it. Notice that Bobby Brown, red beard.
Well, that's not by coincidence. You figured that out. Former prep teammate there, Rodney Orr, of Chris Owens, Bama redshirt freshman. But when Rodney Orr says, keep an eye on this dude, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, I mean, I really like him. I think he had a great camp. I was hearing a lot about him before he ever came over here, to be honest with you. And I, you know, sometimes when you follow this stuff, you can tell that, you know, he has a teammate here that was from the same high school, Arlington, Texas, Lamar High School. And, you know, Chris Owens going to be a really good player. And that always kind of, you know, gives you a little bit of a, maybe not an advantage, but it certainly is not a disadvantage to have a guy here that understands the program. And I just think he had a really good visit, had a great time spending, you know, some of that visit with players and going through the camp. He really liked that. I think Alabama's got a great shot at him. He's at a position of dire need, defensive line. He's 6'4". He's about 284 right now is what he weighed at camp, he told me. And, you know, he's just one of those guys, very, very athletic. I think he's a – to me, he would be a guy that when you look at him, you'd have to say, well, he has to be one of their top defensive line prospects and a key to this class because of the need at that position. So I really like Bobby Brown. I think Alabama has a great shot at him. Oklahoma's been strongly in the mix. You know, other schools out there, Texas A&M, and all of those schools have been involved as well. So, you know, again, I just think that he'll be a guy to keep an eye on as you move along.
Checking in again with Rodney Orr. He's the founder and editor of TiderInsider.com. One of the things that a lot of folks love about your work, Rodney, is you do follow recruiting. And this time of the year, it's crucial. Thought it was interesting the other day with all the talk last year of Nick and his comments about satellite camps. And fast-forwarding to 2017, and whoops, there's Nick at not one but two satellite camps. To me, the translation on that is Nick says if you could basically go off-air with him and off the record, you probably couldn't repeat it on family radio about how he genuinely feels about the camp. But he says, in effect, if I can't beat him, I'm going to join him and try to not to let these guys get out of camp and go to Urban Meyer and other places throughout the entire country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he asked to do it. I mean, and I think that if that's going to be the rule, then he's going to certainly, you know, take advantage of it because everyone else is too. And, you know, he went down there to, Florida International to that camp over the weekend. Got to watch a couple of players that I know they really like. I tell you, they also spotted another guy down there, a defensive lineman. Again, priority, defensive line and the secondary, top priority. This guy's name's Nesta Silvera, and he's committed to Miami. Alabama offered him, and, you know, the kind of the feedback I'm getting is they think he's another, looks like he could be another Jaren Reed-type player. So, you know, again, he's committed to Miami. Can Alabama flip him? You know, we'll see. It's early. They offered him. You know, Miami's doing really well, by the way. So Rick has done an outstanding job, and I think that's probably the deal he wants to do is shut down that that area down there that they used to call the state of Miami.
Well, not only that, they got a lot of big-name coaches now softening off some of that talent, and you got Kirby there in Georgia. You just, while we're on that topic, if you don't mind, Rodney, and we know it's just a fun topic, nobody knows for sure, but Alabama has gotten rich and fat off talent from South Florida and the state of Georgia. Kirby's up and running now. Your thoughts about Nick, he's always got another page in his book of strategies. How does he handle it now that Kirby's getting some momentum in Georgia and with all those coaches down there in South Florida?
Well, that's a good question. I think he's still going to try to mine those areas. Hey, in fact, listen, they got the commitment from Quay Walker over in Georgia, the linebacker. I think is an outstanding player. I think they're going to get probably, or they're leading for certainly, I think, J.J. Peterson. Those are the top, might be the top two defensive players in the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I think Alabama's going to get, probably end up with both of them, could. And I think they'll certainly continue. Joe Panunzio has some good roots down there in South Florida. He'll continue to recruit that area.
And but, Jeremy Pruitt in Georgia and Florida.
And Jeremy Pruitt, exactly. Now, I'll say this, too. I think you're going to watch Alabama and Texas. You may not be seeing it all right now. We mentioned Bobby Brown. There may be some other guys that I think, hey, Jalen Waddle. This guy, we talked about him at your camp, but about the camp he had last couple of weeks when we were on your show. I'm telling you, I hear he's Amari Cooper type skills. Now, he's not as big. He's only 5'10", 170, but just skills. He's got unbelievable off the chart skills. Had a great camp at Alabama. He's from Bel Air Episcopal, which is Houston, basically. It's in the Houston area.
Right.
And I think Alabama's in, you know, pretty good with him. We'll see. But here's the deal. I do think that they're going to hit Texas pretty hard as this process continues to move on. You know, we'll see how Kevin Sumlin does. We'll see how Tom Herman does in his first year. I think it's important for Herman to show some signs because, you know, these Texas kids, they haven't been staying home lately. And if they don't see a sign quickly, you know, they'll think, well, here we go with another coach that, you know, might be out the door in 2 or 3 years.
Well, another state we haven't mentioned today is one Alabama's been very successful with since Nick Saban walked in the door, and one in particularly last year that Rodney Orr said Alabama gutted, the state of Louisiana. Devontae Smith, Chris Allen, two guys we haven't seen yet are coming in, are already there. Kelvin Joseph, a LSU commitment, a corner safety, Baton Rouge, Scotlandville, that is entertaining the thoughts of Alabama. Rodney Orr, your latest thoughts on prospects from the state of Louisiana?
Well, that's a great question. You know, again, I know that they're going to try to keep Alabama out of there this year to the best of their ability.
Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah. Kelvin Joseph is a guy that you mentioned. I think he's a guy that a lot of people kind of compare him to Jamal Adams, who just left LSU. They think maybe he'll be a safety in college. He was here. I think Alabama's going to be real strongly in the mix for him. I think he kind of has some, you know, ties to some of the kids that were, you know, you talk about Chris Allen's from Baton Rouge, Dylan Moses is from Baton Rouge, Devontae Smith is from Amit, or Mike, however they pronounce it down there. I think that in that area, he's got some kind of connections with those guys. And I think that'll be helpful for Alabama's chances down there. And we'll see. You know, I do think that Alabama will continue to really thoroughly evaluate, you know, all of their options. Now, listen, we've talked about this, Brett and Harold, you guys know, for quite a while, I kind of felt like that, this process would be slower. Alabama would be more methodical maybe and what their approach. And right now we're sitting at, what, three commitments Alabama is?
Right. Correct.
And last year this time, I'm not even sure what it had. I'm sure it was at least 12 or so, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's correct.
Somewhere
right.
in there. So, you know, and also think about this. A lot of those early commitments over the last couple of years, think about how many of those guys either ended up not signing with Alabama because they decided to go elsewhere or, you know, whatever the reasons were. A lot of those, there was a lot of transition in these classes where they took early commitments. So I think they're kind of, you know, you're seeing less of that, obviously, this year. They're taking more of their time to evaluate and make sure they get who they really think that will fit what they want to do.
Plus, there's a little thing called private commitments, and as the name implies, that's kind of between Nick and that person in charge. And we know whenever it happens or whoever it happens to, Rod, you got it covered online there, tighterinsider.com. Keep up the good work, and thank you so much for your time today, buddy.
Harold, Brett, appreciate you guys. Take care.
You too, bud.
Rodney Orr, he's the founder and editor of TinerInsider.com.